Good morning. We're going to spend a few minutes in prayer, please. For me, no, I'm just kidding. For today, for our church today, too, for this teaching. Father, thank you so much for continuing to be in our lives. And we invite you here now. We ask for your presence to be in this room, in our hearts, even in a bolder way, greater way, as we study your word and understand, try to understand, continue to understand more of who you are in our lives. Oh, Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for all that you continue to do, and we thank you for all that is to come. We know there is a bright future, a measure of brightness that's coming upon the earth. And we thank you for that too, Father. We thank you for meeting people all across this world, all across our nation, all across our state that love you. This morning, I ask that your presence will be known by them in a manner in which they've never felt, seen, heard, tasted, smelled, because you are all those things to us, Father. All of our senses are alive in you, and I thank you, Father, for that. We just love you, Father. We love you, and again, invite you to join us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I'll read these scriptures, and we'll be done. So, I know there's Pastor Ron's been teaching a lot about Adonai, and that's the name of our conference that's coming up. So I just started looking at other scriptures that have Adonai in it. Kind of got myself in down this road. What did I put on here? Oh, Adonai. Okay, yes, I put it on their sheet that Adonai concerns itself, which that's terrible, concerns himself with the placement and assignment of the people of God. First off, we are the people of God. Okay, great. Adonai is here for us in placement, putting us where we need to be for what's going on today. They're not going to work. So, and the continuation, from the Hebrew root, Adon, meaning master or owner, Adonai speaks of the relationship existing between the people of God, between you and the authority of the Almighty. And none of this is, I don't think any of this is really new, but I know Pastor Ron has been putting some teachings out there about different aspects of Adonai. And I was a little surprised to find how many times Adonai was used in Scripture. 423 verses use Adonai. I didn't know that many. I knew there were some, but I know that many. Now, obviously, not even anywhere close to Jehovah, Yahweh. That's like thousands. But it's one of those aspects of God that lots of people maybe or maybe not understand or try to understand. When you look at, and really, we had to make this progression. I think I had to make this progression to realize for the longest time, I thought in the Old Testament, it was Lord, it was God. They were all the same. The person wrote it this way because they felt like it. But then you start to study. And so let's go back to, not back to, let's talk about how we got here as far as understanding all the different names of God in the Old Testament. At least for me, it started way back when I used to work for Northrop Grumman. Or was it just Grumman then? Anyway, there was a lady that we met. She was Jewish. She started to explain things to me, and I was like, you mean every name of God in the Old Testament has a different meaning, but it's still one God. It's different aspects of his characteristic. Really? Oh my gosh. So then I started looking at that way back. I don't even know what year that was. 90 something. Way back. Like, wow, that's cool. And then we all collectively started down this path of understanding things, and especially understanding Old Testament scriptures, and realizing that the Old Testament was just, and even now more today, the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. We're not a New Testament church. We're a Bible church. We're the whole Word of God church. So the Christian Church of Port St. John, the whole Bible. I mean, I don't know. You find people that talk about the Bible as being Old Testament or New Testament and that they're not together. You can ask your boys. We have found it is very not true, because one of the things that we've been doing in with the boys, and we're about to go into Isaiah now, is in Revel we've studied Revelation. But we looked at Revelation from an Old Testament standpoint, and we saw that there's indeed a very clear connection. Even the same exact words being used back and forth, and it's the same way all the way through. In Isaiah, we found the same thing. We're going to find the same thing as we study that. So we don't just leave one part of the Bible out. That's foolishness, really. It's not just silly, it's foolish to study God's word in that fashion. We ain't gonna do that. So when we look at the word Adonai, and I'm still trying to make the connection of Adonai to the New Testament, and Vicky and I talked a little bit last night, and I guess and some of the teachings that have come forth from Pastor Ron regarding the aspect of Adonai, it's in the New Testament as Kurios. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but anyway, and I'm still working on that connection. I'll get it. Y'all just wait for me, will you? Just wait for me until I get it. So, when we talk about our relationship with Adonai, and there definitely is, it's we have this Jehovah, plans and purpose of God. We have Elohim, his heart towards us, our heart towards him, that really intimate heart-to-heart conversations. And then we have Adonai, which is when he speaks, a word comes to us. It's as far as positioning and where to go, he is getting us moved to where we need to be for whatever's happening or whatever's going to happen. And some of us are right in line with it. I mean, we're like right there. If you don't, I mean, if you're not thinking about it, but for instance, let's go to Brazil. When that was mentioned a couple months ago, many of us in here said, yep, let's go. Well, that was a fresh word from Adonai for us about what he was going to do in Brazil and how important it is for you to be there. If you said yes, you're going to be there for a very specific reason based on your giftings, your calling. It's all together with that. And it's not like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to support Pastor Ron, Monica. I'm just going to do that. Yoali, I'm just, that's good. I can do that. I'm gonna pray. I can do no, not anymore. I mean, yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to be, operating in unity. But there is things that you are gonna have to do, and that means talk to people. We love doing that, don't we, Kimbo? We love talking to people. Well, that's what they need. That's what the Brazilians need. They don't need people talking to them, but they need the wisdom that comes from within, that God has deposited within us, and the giftings that you have, the way that you guys talk to people is unique from one person to another. Sometimes it's close, but most of the time it's very unique how we talk to each other, how we share what's going on with us, how we bring forth the word of the Lord to a nation that wants to know. That wants to know more, which is pretty obvious. And with the really cool pictures that we saw from the Amazon and all the people being baptized, we were on the Amazon, right? Last time we were there, we were on the Amazon, if you were there, and you saw how murky the water was, and then how the other part of it, El Negro, that the name of it? And how that was, yeah, different color. And then they started talking about all the things that's wrong with inside the water of the Amazon. And you look at all these people and they're being baptized and they're like, man, that's faith. Because they know what they're doing is the word of the Lord. They know everything that they're doing in the Amazon to be baptized. This is it. This is my big step of faith. Why do you have that look on your face, ma'am? Oh, maybe you weren't. Oh, you weren't up there. You're in the back. Oh, you, thank you, Pastor. He was going, in case you didn't hear that. The guys in the front were talking about the different things that are in the water that can attack you. Well, little bugs or whatever. I wish I could remember the name of them, especially if you're male. You didn't hear that? Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, it's gross stuff. It's for real. It is. It crawls up in you and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I'm like, okay. Besides all the piranhas and blah, 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 which we never saw because it was in a, you have to be in a shallower section for that. But anyway, these people were being moved by Adonai. We are being moved by Adonai to press forward in the new with them and us all together on behalf of the kingdom of God. When you look at Adonai, that's part of what he does. He gives us a word. He gives us that fresh word. Right now we have lots of Adonai fresh words coming from the Lord. And we are faithful in the process of developing what he said. In other words, we want to be like a dog with a bone. Will we not, won't let it go until we're all the way to where I understand that and I'm going on to the next part. The thing that's maybe different right now for us is we're not going to stop, obviously. We're not going to stop. But it is getting so very interesting in the spirit realm about what's happening. I mean, and it's difficult, but it's not difficult. Does that make sense? I mean, for me, it's harder today than it was when I first became a believer and or first became a son to stay the course with the Father, because there's just so much coming against all of us. It's not just coming against me. And the weirdest things, too. I mean, it comes from different places. And here, how about a random weirdness? I'm in my room studying last night, and all of a sudden, my shredder comes on. And I have it on automatic, so if you put a piece of paper in there, it comes on. It just came on. Thank you, Kim. You have the proper expression on your face. That is weird. And you know, it's such a little tiny blip. I'm just saying, those are the kinds of things that are going on. There's things that are happening. And you know, I think for me, last year was one of the most difficult years I've ever experienced on the earth. I am not going to cry. But I know that all of it's because... It's all of it's because it's what God needed me to go through, experience, understand. I mean, we say this. Why'd you have to hand me that? We say, you know, everything happens for a reason. But really and truly, everything does happen for a reason. And Adonai is the God, that aspect of God that's behind everything happening for a reason. Is it really an amen? I mean, we've been through all kinds of training. Just, you know, as sons, we've been through, you know, how do we do this? How do we do that? Some of it's very practical. Some of it's very, very spiritual. Most of it's very spiritual. And it's like, okay, Lord, I know how to do this now. I can do that. I can operate here. I can operate there. I mean, way back in the day when we went to France and Belgium, how about our trip to Belgium, Kimbo, to those places, and you can see how God has changed you and changed us into who we are today to continue moving forward. You know? And I thought, I really like Brazil because it's a lot like the United States. Yeah, in a way, but holy cow, there's just whole other measures of the spirit realm that move in that place compared to what moves in this place, compared to what moves in France and in Belgium and what happens in India, and we can go on with the list. Well, I declare that the light of the Lord is just going to shine greatly, and all of these countries that we already have a footprint in a greater measure, in a greater capacity for those that are there that are standing on behalf of the kingdom of God. But also pray that, not pray, I declare that the light of the world will be known to the world, that they will see what is, that they will understand that there's so much more than what they have right now. You know, and I there's just so many countries that are having so many issues, including us. And yet God is right there, and it's like the victory is like right around the corner. It's like the more the heat is on, as in the more the enemy does stuff, the more you know that God is at hand, that the victory is right there. And when I mean victory, I don't mean like it's over, the Day of Atonement. What? No, I mean that the Lord is about to burst forth and break through in a mighty way. I think our understanding of Adonai will be a continued part of that for us, how we pray, because praying is, as we know, without it, there's no fire. There's no, I'm going to say, motivation. I mean, God is our motivation, I get it, but prayer, man, that's going to bring the fresh words, right? Where do we get the fresh word from? The right hand of God. How do we get to the right hand of God? Prayer. Being on our face before him, proskuneo. You know, each of us had to make that choice and that decision that I'm going to serve him. No matter what the opportunity comes up, no matter how hard the opportunity might be, I'm going to serve him because I love him. And that is expanding even within us right now, even within our hearts right now, that's expanding. And if you can't feel it, you will feel it, because it's going to be one of those things where you're going to go, oh, okay. And then you continue to move, because that's who we are. Okay. Page one. Page two. We have all in this room, and anybody else that's watching, by the way, some people from Dallas may be watching because they're in house. their homes and stuff. So, because of all the lovely weather we're having. But we've all demonstrated a willingness to keep moving forward. And those that did not demonstrate or have not demonstrated that willingness to move forward, they're not here. But if you want to continue to grow in him, you know, you have to be even more sold out that this way is the only way. And especially in this day and age of all the things that are going on, you have to believe that. You have to, because there's so much evil manifesting on the earth, manifesting in places you might not have ever thought it was going to manifest. Why would I have thought, think about evil when it comes to education? Oh yeah, you do. You do. There's so many other agendas going on. We want God's agenda in every place. This is the time to pray. We've always prayed, but this is the time to pray. Our intercession is vital to yourself, to the house, to Saints Network, to the kingdom of God. So let's look at the first occurrence of Adonai. We probably have already seen this before, and we have, I know we have, in Genesis 15, 1 through 7. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Adonai," I think that's Jehovah. Did I write it down? "What will thou give me, seeing I go childless, And the steward of my house is this Eleazar, I'm not saying that right, Eleazar, okay, of Damascus. And Abram said, And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born of my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Conversation with Abram. I want to be brought forth abroad. That's a really cool saying. To me, I don't know what the definition of everything is, but it sure seemed like let him see all that is before him. And the great expanse, but you know, Abram was a unique gentleman. He was an old guy. Not as old as you, he was older. But he could not comprehend what was happening. But Adonai had a word for him. And he brought that forth and spoke that to him. Because Abram addressed him. He said, hey, this aspect of God, let me talk to you. So interesting that Jehovah, the plans and purpose of God, was also part of this conversation. But when he asked specifically, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? He was addressing that aspect of Adonai, that part of God, that aspect of God that will bring you face to face, operating in the authority that God has given you, because you are standing in the place that God has put you. I think I said that right. And you know, and Abram, I mean, it was sincere. He wasn't, it didn't seem to me, though we can't hear the words that are spoken, didn't seem to me that he was mad, angry, bitter, disappointed. Just wondering, Lord. Maybe he was disappointed. I don't know. Just wondering, Lord, what's up with this? And again, Lord God, not just Adonai. He got this word, and we know that. He got this word from the Lord, and he knew it was going to be. There was no doubt in him, maybe in somebody else nearby listening, there was no doubt in him, in Abram, that this was to be. The words that he spoke are an absolute. It's going to happen. Now, let me ask this question, or you guys can think about this question. When you read this in Scripture, do you think that Abram, at this time, Abram had any idea what the plan was for his life? Do you think he had a clue? Did you think he understood that he was going to be the father of, I'll say many nations, but he was going to be the father of Israel, so to speak? That because of him, through him, the 12 tribes were going to be brought forth? That the sons of God were going to become 1.5 million, 2 million people in the earth at that time? I don't know. I don't. But so many other places in Scripture talk about how he understood different aspects of God, how he understood what was being laid before all of us, before him, before the nation of Israel. Was it Israel at that time? It was, okay. But did he have a clue? So, in other words, do you have a clue that you could be a father of many nations, that you could be fill in the blank for thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people? And it's not just about the people, that you could bring forth such a mighty message. You could be a part of the another move of great healing that sweeps across a land. Part of a revival that lots of people have been praying for. You could be a key part of that. Or not. Is it okay? Oh, here comes Carmen. Carmen's coming.
I think we are already doing that spiritually. And it doesn't even matter what we see. So
raise your hand if you thought she was going to say more. That was very good, Carmen. So all of that to say, too, for me, and thinking along those lines, you know, Adonai is going to use you and move you in order to accomplish what the kingdom of God needs to accomplish in this time, in this hour, in this place, and that place, and over there. All of you. Whatever you have to offer, whatever you've laid down before the Lord, that's what he's going to use. It doesn't matter, as we have talked on great occasion, it doesn't matter if you're old or young, or if you're gimpy or not gimpy. Thank God, right, Kim? Right, Carmen? If you think you're not worthy, or you are worthy, I'm not sure any of us ever think we are worthy, that's what's going to get used. That's what he's going to use. It's not like he's like, okay, I'm going to take a net, I'm going to put it over here, but I'm going to leave behind this and this, because that's not very helpful. It's not how it works. It's all or nothing. We're in all or nothing. That's where we are. And so, in so many ways, Adonai is in charge of this ragtag army of God. This mixture of whatever we are. We're for him. If we didn't have that kind of devotion, we wouldn't be here. Okay. Let me see what else we're going to say. Oh, we're going to finish with that. We're going to talk about this part, which could be a very long discussion or a very short one, because we're going to talk about Adonai and the three feasts that are dedicated to him. So, I say dedicated, but yes, because the scripture that we're going to look at has that in there. And really, we don't need to really start till verse 14. So jump on down to verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Now, we have, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Larry and Pastor Vicky, we have in 1 year celebrated every single feast in Scripture, all seven of them. In 1 year, we did it in 1 year. You guys all remember that? Some were more fun than others. Like the Feast of Tabernacles, to me, was a blast. But some of you didn't really like camping out. So, but, you know, we have celebrated every single one of these feasts and had a pretty good understanding of what they were about. Now, did you even think back then that we'd be talking about the feasts again today in a totally different venue, totally different viewpoint? We saw it from over here, practically. Exactly what did they do? What did they drink? What did they eat? How did they celebrate? What did they say? What did they carry? All those kinds of things. And now we're here looking at it from a place of a son. Before, maybe kind of a servant. Now, a son. It's a different perspective. And so how many years ago was that when we did the study, and we even have a feast of Passover and all that kind of fun stuff, and we were ready to go. I remember that. Do you remember that? I remember that. That was all part of Adonai. Can you believe that? Adonai was talking back then to this guy and to this lady about understanding these feasts way back then that helped prepare the way of the Lord in this house and in your hearts in a way you never knew. I have no doubt if we had not, let me say it a different way. I have no doubt that that was part of that opening that God needed to speak to us in a fashion that's out of church. It was out of the world. No, it's out of the church. Totally outside of that perspective. Because we had this understanding, dun, 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 you know, and you guys even have a, you know, even more of a background to look at and say, oh, wow, what happened if I never met Peter Lord? What happened if I never had a Greta Metheny in my life? I mean, you can just tick things off and you need to see, if you don't see, you need to see there was Adonai that was behind a lot of this. Well, I'll say all of it because it's God. But, you know, he put us in places we needed to be to understand the authority that we have in the place that we hang out, in the place that we call home. And it's not, now look at it, go, look at that. You know, I just used to say God. Look at how God protected me all the way through. And it is God. But, you know, when you look at it, you can see how this placement happened. How did I end up here? Because he placed me there. Circumstances, people could call it luck. People can call it, I'm pursuing my career. Whatever you want to call it. It was Adonai. Even in retirement, since I know some of you are retired in here. Even in retirement, he got you there. He got you there. You know, and you just look at all the different things that happened. It's Adonai. It was that aspect of God that had your best in mind when he moved you from here to there. I mean, really. So the feast time, which we, like I said, we've done all of them. Yeah, all seven of them. Keep thinking, how many are there? Seven. There's probably a lot more, but the main feasts are seven feasts. You look at in the scripture that we're going to read, or somebody's going to read, I started and I stopped. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. There's so many things we can say about this feast day that's related to sonship and how we got here. We understand that we have to have that fresh word of the Lord. We understand the whole concept of unleavened bread. I don't know about you, but when we did the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I did take all my yeast out. I didn't have any yeast. But I did put all that bread somewhere else and did the unleavened bread. I know all of you guys did that were here. So the first step of Adonai giving you a word, a fresh word of God. Verse 16, and the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast, okay, that's number two. And then the Feast of Ingathering, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So three times in the year, all thy male shall appear before Adonai Jehovah. So if I'm an enemy of Israel and I know about their feast days, when am I going to attack the nation of Israel? When would you attack the nation of Israel? Oh, the three times when all the males are where? In Jerusalem. Let's go. We can take all the land. Did that happen? In the Old Testament? I don't think I've been able to find that. That while doing the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the enemy took all the land surrounding Jerusalem. Nope. Now, I haven't done a 100% research, but think about that. Who's in charge then? Seriously, who's in charge? They've had so many enemies around them everywhere, even today. Who's in charge? Who's watching over who? Are we watching over Israel as a nation of the United States? God is Adonai, Jehovah, Elohim. Who's watching over you? It's not you. Most certainly isn't me. Now I'm going to cry. I know you guys know this about me, but I don't like not being in control. Every aspect of my life, I want to be in control of it. I don't want you to know about it. I just want to be in control of it. I don't want you to know about it or you to know about it. I'm in control. It's all good. I'm not. I'm not in control. And I'm still working on that, right? Didn't I cry about this 2 weeks ago? 2 Sundays ago, same thing. When I stop crying, you guys will know I got it. Who's laughing that hard back there? Lisa. I love you, Lisa. Now, I don't know how Israel felt about not being in control, but they were not. And they had a measure of faith and a measure of trust in God during certain times of them being a nation. And there still are a nation of certain times, you know, but we are, in so many ways, we are that nation. We are the nation of Israel. We are the sons of God. And who's watching over us? It's still Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, and any other name of God that we're going to find out and study in the near future. It's still the one. He's still the one in control. So why do I worry? I'm not telling any of you guys that you worry, but why do I worry? I don't know, Lord. And that's all I can say when he asked me that question. Why do you worry? So, I'm getting a call from Utah. Which I don't need. Okay, so we understand unleavened bread. We understand first fruits. Is that what they called it? The harvest. The feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labor. Every aspect of that we've talked about and gone through and discussed. What's going on? Did you get a call from Utah as well? Well, that's like my shredder coming on. Okay. And then the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is really that place where you know that you have nothing and then it's all God. It's that provision, that place, that feast that talks about how God provides, how he has provided and how he provides. And it's at the end of the year, but for them that was what, October or something? I don't remember. Adonai called us together, called the nation of Israel together those three times a year to develop that continued intimacy with him. To be placed somewhere together in unity where he can discuss, I say discuss, where he can share what is going to be, what is happening, what is going on, what is going to happen tomorrow. If you think about all the different things that we did for the feast, you can see how Adonai would be in it while he's part of it. We have nowhere else to turn but to God. And the concept of feasts and of coming three times a year in one place. How many times do we come together For sure, twice. Yay! But of course, depends on where you go. You could be 3, 4, 5 times a year. Yes, Carmen.
I think this is interesting because if we're making this is Old Testament, and we're watching the scriptures take us from trusting God in physical things to trusting God in spiritual things in all these lessons that we're looking at. And then in the New Testament, he just slams it out totally, defines it with Jesus. And one of the things that is being done with us is the same thing in the Garden of Eden, where we thought we could be in control by taking that apple, like you were just saying. Mm. And so he's going to come in Revelations and reveal we were never in control. And we never had what we thought we had, and we never were who we thought we were. We were either way more or way less. You know, it's not going to be a succinct pain for everybody. It's going to be different for everybody. Yeah. Some of us will be praising the Lord for that fire coming down and blazing through all of us, you know, and some of us will be burned by it. So
it's so true. So true. You know, just the three feasts is a progression as well. The three feasts for Adonai, because of when they happen and where they happen. So, well, we know where they happen, but when they happen. So I had to go back and refresh my memory because, boy, was it fuzzy in that area. But, you know, unleavened bread basically happens the day after Passover. And so I didn't remember that. Oh, that's right, it happens 7 days long, okay. But then, not too long after that, happens the first fruits. Sorry. Is it that day? Wait. First fruits, sorry. First feast of the harvest is also called Pentecost. Sorry. And the third day is the third day is when the third day of, it's not Passover. See, now I'm fuzzy again. Okay, but you guys are with me. And then, of course, the tabernacles, the in-gathering, as they call it here in this scripture, mentioned several different times those three feasts together because everybody had to go somewhere. Hand that microphone to Vicky. She's got something to say, but not yet. I know you're gathering the information. I don't have anything to say at all. Okay. So back in the Old Testament, during all these feast days, they had all these things that they needed to do that God asked them to do. A lot of people just took it for granted and did what they needed to do. But I'm sure that there were people that were not happy with what the Lord told them to do. They wanted the comfort of their homes, so to speak. They wanted to eat whatever they wanted to eat. I don't want to eat unleavened bread. I want to eat leavened bread. It tastes so much better. With the yeast and the writhing. I mean, I'm just saying things. I don't know what they did in the Old Testament. But today, the Lord asks us, commands us to do things. And sometimes we just don't want to do them. I want to do what I want to do. Like I said, I want to be in control. And I'm not. But I want to be in control. Am I the only one that feels that way sometimes? I was just double checking. You know, in Romans, and again, this is a part of a conversation I was having with Vicky. In Romans, there's a scripture that talks about that our mind is at enmity with our spirit. And I went and looked up the scripture so I could give it to you in case you wanted to write it down. Romans 8, 6 through 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's like our mantra of the year. Forever, actually. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All of us in this room want to please God. Maybe we don't say it that way, but we want to please God. We want to do what God's called us to do. So whatever is going through your mind regarding anything that's going on around you right now, that needs to be dumped because it is hostile towards what the Father wants to do. Hostile to what the Lord has called you to do. Hostile to the words that he's giving to you now. They can even use the word hateful. Go. I knew she had something to say eventually. Go ahead.
Well, the unleavened is probably akin to looking in the New Testament of moving into that new wineskin and wanting to bring old wine to put in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or wanting to bring new, that's wrong.
I got you right. I got
new
you.
Wine pouring into the old wineskin. You've got to leave that old wineskin behind. And any type of attitude or stinking thinking or whatever, or just perspective from the past, we need to leave behind because there's not room for it to move into the new for what's required.
Right.
We have to have our minds and our thinking and whatever open to the new things God wants to do in the way he wants to do it. And we don't want to hang on to the things that we've done in the past or the way we've looked at things in the past or the limitations we may have had on ourselves in the past. We don't want to bring those. We can't bring, it's just not want to. We can't bring them in to the new thing because they won't fit in the wineskins that are required.
Right.
We have to have new wineskins.
And we talked a little bit about how uncomfortable it has been in this transition. Well, to me, but I know other people have said it. Well, guess what? Uncomfortable is the new comfortable. It just has to be. We can't have a comfort zone. And I have to tell you, part of my problem with this comfort zone thing is my laziness keeps kicking in and I need to stop it. I need to stop it. I need to go forth. I need to do things. I can't just say, this is great. My life is okay. This is good. We can't get comfortable. We can't. If you are comfortable, then please stop. And I'm thinking about, you know, even the most littlest of things, meaning in life, where I don't even want to go out of my house because I like my house. I mean, that seems so silly, but no comfort zone. We don't have a zone called comfort.
I've been going through that myself as well. And one of the things I found that when I start to analyze what I'm doing and this, like you were talking about, this control that you try to have on yourself, I find I'm trying to use my own mind to do it. And it's like, well, that's a catch-22. I shouldn't even be thinking this way. And so, well, the option is, oh, like Lisa always yells at me, give it to God, give it to God. I get so sick of hearing that.
Way to go. Way to be that daughter. That is awesome.
She can even sense it. She can even sense it. And she'll just look at me. Give it to God.
It's so annoying. Isn't it annoying?
You don't even have to say a word. Anyhow, that's what you get when you live in a house like that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I realize what that really is saying is everything that you're talking about, that mind and having even the anxiety and saying that God is wretched against those things that we're doing. It's really what we're thinking. He's really there loving us, cuddling us. He's not upset or anything. He's just like, you're going to get out of your mind. You will. You're going to get out of your mind. You're so cute. Look at you. And you're so funny. You're so silly. You just getting that little mind of yours. And I got this big spirit for you. And you've even seen it. And you know exactly
really
what's going
to
happen.
That way?
I feel like it.
All right.
Because I feel so silly afterwards. I feel
understood.
So ridiculous. I'm like,
why did I even think that?
Lord, I got on this diet. I did it for one day. Woo. Fail the next day, you know? So it was just like,
I understand.
I'm constantly fighting that. And I realize I'm trying to do it with my mind still. And I think that's what Paul sort of refers to, that we got to pull ourselves, give ourselves grace because God already is.
Yeah. And we have to get out of our mind in a nice fashion. We do. And yeah. Now see, you know, Carmen, you and I think sometimes alike. And all the stuff you were saying, you know, I've had conversations like that with God, not quite in that voice. But anyway, you know, but everybody, obviously, everybody's different. I mean, some of these people in this room have never had a conversation like that with God. They just, they're steadfast. They just have a different. Oh, I think that, but there's some people that I know that. So, you know, it's just each one of us have been created differently. So we deal with things in a different fashion, but still there's God saying, all right, you know, forget that. You know, I don't have things that from way back when I was a kid that bother me all the time, but some other people do. That's just the way it is. Go ahead.
The thing about these feasts is that when you look at them through the scriptural eyes of a son, you see that every one of them requires something from you in order to really fulfill what God wants fulfilled from your giftings, from your identity in that thing. And so if you just went to the feast, you know, and just had a good time, which is basically what we did when we tried to way back. It was just a fun thing. And we there was no way we were grasping what the real spiritual depth of any of those were.
Exactly.
But in order to really be able to fulfill those things that are required, you've really got to prepare yourself. That's why God would call people to a fast, you know. And so, you know, whether it's the unleavened bread where you're bringing, you've got to be ready to lay down those mindsets and perspectives. If you just come ready to eat at the table and not give anything in exchange, then you're just going to come away fat, you know, with extra calories. Really, you're not going to really accomplish anything. If it's the feast of the harvest where you're bringing the very best, the first fruits, the very best of who you are and what you have. If you're not really willing to turn that over and you're just going to say, oh, well, I'll give what's comfortable, I will give what's convenient, then again, you're going to come away having not accomplished anything. And the tabernacles is the same way, where you're going to be called to advance the kingdom outwardly into those places that God has ordained. You know, if you're not willing to do whatever it takes to go forward, to take that message, to make those tabernacles, those points of his presence in other places.
Establish them, yes.
Then again, you're just there for the ride and you're not really, you're just a liability, really.
Really. And do you think, I mean, I'm not, there was a measure of people, even in the Old Testament, that understood a deeper understanding of those, of the feasts. And we have a greater opportunity to understand them.
Obviously, though, if it had gone the way that God wanted it to, I guess we wouldn't have needed Jesus in many aspects.
Yeah.
You know, because people weren't being sons.
They weren't,
and
yeah.
They needed to be restored to the Father. So.
Well, I know I'm glad for Jesus. But, you know, still, but it's that, I don't know how many times you've woken up in your young lives or old lives, and you had to make yourself get out of bed, so to speak. You had to make yourself do it. And that's what we're doing. That's who we are. It's not just a rote thing. We have to do this. We have to lay down what's necessary to do this. Now, you don't, I'm going to say too, you still have a choice. You don't have to go into that deeper place with the Lord. You don't have to go down that path you really want to. You think that's a good idea. Maybe I'll go, no, I'll kind of go, I'm good. I'll just go. No. You individually have to make that choice. I can't make it for you either. So that's the other aspect of the feast. It's about you and him. It's about you and Adonai. It's about you and Jehovah. It's about you and Elohim. And we didn't get to read the Psalms, but if I get to teach again, maybe I'm going to teach this Psalm. This is a Psalm of David, a prayer of David. And obviously, he was going through a difficult time. It's the last scripture on the sheet. I mean, as usual, when was David not going through a difficult time? It seems like that didn't happen too often. Maybe up on the rooftop. I didn't say that out loud, did I? You know, you see his heart for God, and you look at this scripture, and he talks about Jehovah. He talks about Adonai. He talks about El. He talks about Elohim. He has it all in here, And the way he's addressing the Lord and the different aspects of what's happening in Psalms 86, it's amazing. And this is the psalm that has the most occurrences of Adonai, which is why I put it on the sheet. So it's 9:31. Should I read it or shall we just go on? We need to go. We need to go, Adrian. Okay, everybody rise up. No. So, Father, we do thank you for your word and that we still have things to learn, still have things to know. We thank you for your presence here in this place and in our hearts and in our lives. And we do trust you, Father. We do. We have to. We do. We declare it right now in your name of your son, Jesus, that we do trust you and we do love you, Father. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.